chapter just read from John chapter 2 verse 1 to verse 11. We will see Jesus Christ going to a wedding today, and where he performed his first miraculous sign. Nina and I love going to weddings. We have been to many weddings in our life, and almost cannot count how many. Let me show you some pictures of the weddings that we went to. There was a 1 year, in 2 months, we went to three weddings. Okay, this is in 2001, next one. And that's 2004, the first wedding we went to in California, and then the second one, see, same year, same month, and then the third one, now 2 months later, we went to another wedding. And then, keep going, this is a more recent wedding, and Reverend Edmund Chung was officiating the wedding. You should have seen him when he came for my ordination. Weddings are very beautiful. Weddings are very joyful occasions that I think we all enjoy participating. Is there anyone who has never been to a wedding before? Put up your hand. Everybody has, oh, just one. Okay. So, if anyone gets married in the future, invite William, okay, so that he can also experience the joy of being a wedding. But the most memorable wedding that I have been to was my own wedding. Okay, so here's a photo. My own wedding. That's another wedding we went to in Dallas. On the back you see the decoration. Yeah, that's from my own wedding, when we were lighting the union candle, symbolizing that we are united in Christ as one, and it was a very touching moment for me. Actually, on that day, usually it's the bride who cried, but I was in tears. I was so touched, you know, by what God, you know, did in my life, and it was absolutely God's grace gift to me. I do not deserve. So that's why I was in tears. So it was such a memorable experience because I first person experienced the joy of the celebration, the joy of the preparation, and the joy of the expectation of a lifelong happiness with the person who loves me so much, my wife, Nina. And my wife, Nina, has picked up photography as one of her hobbies recently, and she loves taking photos in weddings. Why? And I asked her, and she said that it's because people are all so happy in weddings. Okay, it's contagious, and even if you feel sad to go to the wedding, you feel uplifted. You feel hope there in a wedding. And when people are happy, they look beautiful. Okay? There's no one smiling face that's not beautiful. Okay? So that's why Nina enjoys taking photos in weddings. And when you see two people coming together as one, you say, wow, life is beautiful. Life is so hopeful. If you're a believer of Jesus Christ, you say, God is wonderful, praise God for bringing two people. They didn't even know each other, and then they were willing to know each other, commit to love each other for the rest of their lives before God and man. See, going to weddings gives us joy. What if every week we can go to a wedding? Not possible? And today I'd like to share with you that we can experience the joy that we experience in weddings, the joy of the celebration, preparation, and expectation of eternal life of happiness with Jesus Christ. Through the wedding that Jesus Christ went to himself, we will learn some very important things about Jesus Christ himself, and then that will help us to also experience the joy of going to a wedding every day, not just every week. Yes, it's possible to have this joy as a believer of Jesus Christ. Please, if you have your Bible already open, to John chapter 2, verse 1 to 11, we'll look at the Bible verses, verse by verse. We'll learn three things about Jesus Christ himself that will help us to have a deeper appreciation of Jesus Christ, and that will bring joy to our lives about a wedding we all will be part of in the future. Yes, it is a wedding that we will all be part of, and now it's time to celebrate that we are already invited to that wedding. And that we should prepare ourselves because we will be in the wedding. And we should have great expectations about our lives with God in eternity later, because we will be in that wedding. And I'll tell you what that wedding is, okay? That we all are part of, believers of Jesus Christ, are all of a wedding. First, we'll learn that Jesus Christ cares for our physical needs. Look at verse 1 of chapter 2 of the book of John. It says that on the third day, here the third day is talking about, if you read the verses before in chapter 1, it says that Jesus called Philip and Nathanael to be his disciples. And on the third day after that, a wedding took place at Cana. Okay? Let me show you a map of Cana. Okay? You'll see that Cana is on the north side of Nazareth, where Jesus Christ grew up. Okay? And on the right hand side, you see the Sea of Galilee. And Galilee is the province that Jesus did most of his teachings and miracles. Okay, so it's a very important location, but Cana was just a small village in Galilee, the province. As we continue to read on in chapter 2, verse 1, Jesus' mother was also there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. You know that in the Palestinian culture, village culture, weddings were very important occasions. Just like now, weddings are very important occasions. Such events were announced well ahead of time. And then many people, the whole village, will be invited to the wedding. Think about if you have such resource and money and space, you invite everyone in Baton Rouge to go to your wedding. Big wedding that will be, but it was a small village, so everyone was invited. Especially those people who were distinguished guests, like famous teachers, prominent teachers. That's why Jesus and his disciples were also invited to this wedding. But something happened in the wedding. Verse 3, when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine. They have no more wine." You might not realize the importance of running out of wine in a wedding. It is a wedding that lasts for 7 days. Okay? And the host is responsible for providing wine or drink or beverage when people are celebrating for the wedding for that 7 days. You might not still realize the importance of running out of wine because you have never experienced that. But in the Jewish culture, if you go to a wedding and during the celebration it runs out of wine, it brings shame to the host of the wedding. And also, it will be a laughing stock, a joke for people for years about this. I mean, what a shame that you are not prepared for your wedding. And I mean, a guest could not enjoy the wedding because of your negligence. Today, if I give an analogy of what happened then, it will be like this. It's like you go to a party celebrating Christmas, and then some of the guests have not come yet, and yet the beverages are already gone. No more beverages. And you go there, have nothing to drink, and the food is barbecue food, and how can you not drink anything? So it would be very embarrassing for whoever would be hosting that. And I believe when Mr. Nini heard that, she was thinking, oh, I must prepare enough drinks. Yes, it can be very embarrassing to the host. So that's what happened then. That's why Jesus' mother was very concerned. They have no more wine. What should we do about it? Why would Jesus' mom told Jesus about that? It was because as guest to a wedding, the guest has the responsibility to cover part or even all of the cost of the wedding, because wedding could be very expensive. Just like when we go to weddings, we give a gift. Today, usually, monetary gifts preferred because it will cover some of the expenses of preparing for a very expensive wedding. That's why Jesus' mother here actually is suggesting that Jesus do something about that. maybe give extra gifts. But she did not realize what she had requested of Jesus Christ to do. She thought Jesus Christ was just his son, her son. Verse 4. That's how Jesus Christ replied. May sound very impolite, rude. Dear woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my time has not yet come. I want to ask you not to address your mom as dear woman. Okay, woman, okay? Because in the English language, this is very rude to address your mom as woman. But in the Jewish culture, this is just a formal address of women. This is like saying miss or madam. But of course, still it sounds inappropriate for Jesus Christ to address his mom as ma'am or as miss. Sure, he had some other more intimate ways to address his own mom. Then why was Jesus addressing his own mom as woman? It's because Jesus Christ understood the deep meaning of this event, to what he would do and why he came here on earth. And his mind was focused on God's mission for him on earth. And yet Mary, his mom, was more focused on something that's temporary, that's happening on earth for just one family. But Jesus Christ's concern was for everyone on planet earth. And Jesus Christ was expressing that difference in mindsets to his mom. And he even said, why do you involve me? What does it mean to say, why do you involve me? To rephrase that, it's like, what do we have in common? Or further rephrase that, what can this matter that concerns you be of mutual interest to us? We have different interests. My interest, concern is about the salvation of all sinners. Your interest is, your concern is about providing wine for this wedding banquet. So that's why Jesus Christ addressed his mom as dear woman, but still dear, you know, showing respect. Why do you involve me? Jesus Christ continued to say that my time has not yet come. Here NIV translates the word that should be literally translated as hour. In the book of John, it was repeatedly used to refer to what Jesus Christ would do on the cross. Crucifixion for all sinners' sins. So here, my time has not yet come. It's not time for me to go to the cross yet. God's agenda is different from yours. God's time is different from yours. But Mary probably didn't understand what was behind what Jesus was saying. John chapter 12, verse 27. If your Bible is open to John chapter 12, it used the word hour again. Before Jesus Christ went to the cross, very close to the time that he would be crucified. And Jesus Christ expressed his true feelings. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say, Father? Save me from this hour? Should I not do it? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Jesus Christ knew it would be painful to be crucified. Jesus Christ knew it would be painful on the cross because he was bearing all sinners' sins. God would turn, God the Father would turn his eyes from him, and there will be a temporary separation from God the Father that was unbearable for him. But still he said, God the Father, glorify your name. Not my will be done, but your will be done. So Jesus Christ was always focused on God the Father's will for him on planet earth, to the point of death for all sinners on the cross. Verse 5, his mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. See, although Jesus' mind was focused on eternal salvation for sinners who believe in him, but he indicated that he was willing to help
That's why Mary responded here, do whatever he tells you. So Jesus was going to act. Why would Jesus do that? His mindset was on the salvation of sinners. Why would he be willing to accommodate the needs of someone in just a wedding banquet? Something that's very temporary. Here it shows that Jesus Christ cares. Jesus Christ not only cares for our eternal destiny, but also is concerned about our physical needs, our trivial, practical needs in life. I think that has some very deep implications for us as believers of Jesus Christ. Because it means that we can come to Jesus and ask Jesus for whatever we truly need as believers of Jesus Christ. Not that, oh, it's always about eternal, spiritual things, salvation of other people, but I am hungry, Jesus, feed me. Or in your relationship, in the marriage, God, can you help my wife and I to have a closer, more intimate relationship in the marriage? Or in school, God, I'm facing the final exams. Could you help me to focus and to have the wisdom to study well for the exams so that I will not fail and so that I will be able to fulfill the expectations of my mom and dad, my teachers? The other things that you have in your life that you need, for example, at work, there are deadlines you need to meet. You need to give a very important presentation. You can ask Jesus to help you even in those seemingly very secular, trivial, practical needs. It's because Jesus cares for you as a person, a whole person. Different types of needs. Of course, ultimately, after helping you through that, meeting your practical needs, God will also bring eternal benefit to you as well. So we should not hesitate to ask Jesus for what we truly need in our life. Even if you think that's trivial, don't tell Jesus about that. And why do we pray, say that, God, please protect my house from the weather, from the hurricane? God is concerned about your house as well. If you ask that, it's God's will, then your house will be okay. I'm not a person good with directions. I often got lost, okay? And it got worse since there was internet directions. I no longer use Maps anymore, okay? If you give me a Thomas guide, tell me I don't know how to read it now anymore. And it got worse after I used GPS. I probably don't even know how to go to Yahoo to look up directions. But the problem with GPS devices is that if the location is not on your GPS map that you have downloaded into your computer or GPS device, you will not be able to get to that location. And there are many new houses being built that will not be shown. So there were multiple occasions with, even with GPS, I got lost. And immediately I thought about Jesus. I said, Jesus can help me. GPS cannot help me anymore. With all the technology, all that I have, I'm helpless. Jesus, help me. And immediately after I prayed to Jesus, and pray to God, and Jesus helps me to find where I was looking for. And multiple times, Nina was there, and she is the witness. I asked her to pray together, too. We were looking for a location, and there was a time restraint, and we had to find a place, and we just prayed. And indeed, the place just showed up. So, Jesus does care for our physical needs as well. I'm not sure what problem you are facing in your life now, something that's physical, something you'll see that's secular, something that's practical and trivial. But Jesus cares for you, even for those needs. After you have tried everything, even before you try doing anything, think that you can ask Jesus to help you first. Actually, this is the attitude we should have about everything that we do. Always ask for Jesus' help. It shows our trust in Him. It shows who is our God, who is in control of our lives. Second, Jesus not only cares for our physical needs, but also cares for our spiritual needs. Here in verse 6, it says that nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. I'll show the next picture. This is actually a picture of Cana, contemporary Cana. If you go there, it will look like this. Okay, so give you a picture so that you'll probably have a better understanding of the feel about what's going on there. And then the next one, it shows a stone jar and a cup for holding what would be the choicest wine that Jesus Christ would create from just water. Okay, so what is ceremonial washing? If you have read the Gospels, you know that the Pharisees were angry when Jesus' disciples did not wash their hands before they ate, because for them they have violated a religious ritual or a rule. Why would the Jews do that? Because they believe having contact with people who were not Jews, the Gentiles, or touching things that, according to the Jewish law given by Moses and some of the laws they created themselves, it would cause them to be unclean before God. It was like a sin. So they had to have a lot of water in their house before they eat. They not just wash their hands to kill the germs, but also kill the uncleanliness by having contact with the Gentiles and also things that were not clean. So that's why there were such jars in people's house at that time. And these are stone jars. Why stone jars? Because stone would not absorb the water and what is dirty from the environment, and it will keep what it is holding clean instead of contaminating it. So that's why they use the stone jars to keep the water clean that is used for cleansing. If it is dirty, so it defeats the purpose of cleansing. So that's why these jars were specifically designed for ceremonial cleansing, and they have to use these jars. And each jar can hold 20 to 30 gallons of water. And there were six jars. So how many gallons of water? 120 to 180 gallons of water that will be converted to wine. That's another wine enough for all the people in the wedding banquet. Verse 7, Jesus was asking. Jesus said to the servant, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. It's full. But Jesus here did something that again violates a Jewish law. Because these jars were supposed to be filled with water only for ceremonial washing, cleansing, not to be drunk, okay? So Jesus asked these people to use these jars to hold something for a different purpose. If those Pharisees knew about that, they again would criticize Jesus and they'd find a reason to, you know, say something bad about Jesus. But Jesus was more concerned about the needs of the people in the wedding at that time. And you will see there is a deeper meaning why Jesus would use those stone jars to hold the water that would be converted into wine that I will explain later. Then Jesus told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. Who is the master of the banquet? Who is the master of the wedding banquet? This is someone in a position of honor, very honorable position. And that person's primary duty was to make sure the wine was wisely distributed so that people would not get drunk. Okay, not too much wine, not too little, and dilute the wine so that it would not cause drunkenness. So here, drunkenness is not an issue in this story. And Jesus Christ is not encouraging us to drink wine. Okay, because the wine that we drink now is different from the wine that people drank then. There was natural wine, not the distilled, and not the wine that was diluted. That the wine that we have usually is actually distilled to make that more concentrated. So, as a result, the master of banquet had that responsibility to make sure that all the guests will be entertained, have the beverage, so that when they eat, they have to drink. And if there was no more beverage, the banquet host, the master of the banquet, will be responsible for that, and it will bring shame to him. So that's why Jesus Christ asked the converted wine and to give that to the master of banquet, because he was the person responsible for that. So again, let's continue to read verse 8. So they again followed Jesus Christ's instructions. They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water, they knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink, but you have saved the best till now." That's a surprise to him. That is not reasonable. Why would people in the wedding banquet serve the choice wine, the good wine first, and then serve something that's poor in quality later? It is because in the beginning of the banquet, people's senses, taste, will be very sensitive. If you serve something poor in quality, people can immediately tell, and then they will bring shame to the host. So that's why good wine will be served first, and people will appreciate that more. But after a while, it's a 7-day banquet, okay? You eat and drink for maybe at the end of 7 days. Your taste buds are numb, okay? You cannot tell what is good and bad. So this is the time to serve something that's poor in quality. People cannot tell, okay? So that's a way to save money too. So that's why it sounded not reasonable for the best wine that the master of the banquet ever tasted to be served at this time. It also tells us that Jesus, in an instant, created the wine that was something that is the best of all. Nobody ever tasted wine that good before. So pure, the taste so good, from the best grapes of all. Here it tells us that Jesus Christ, He is the Creator. He is God. That's why He can create wine in an instant. When you think about who created wine now, you would say the winery, okay, the people. But without Jesus Christ in the back making the process possible, we would not have wine today. So ultimately, Jesus Christ is still the creator of wine today. But Jesus Christ just, in a short instant, did what He is still doing today, in order to address an urgent need at that time. If you have your Bible, you can read Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 to 17. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 to 17. It tells us who Jesus Christ is. Let me read it. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. "For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by Him and for Him." Jesus Christ created all things. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Even today, Jesus Christ is holding everything together so that the universe will not collapse, so that we can still live a life on planet Earth, so that the sun is not too close that will burn us up, or it is too far away and then we will be frozen to death. Jesus Christ is the creator, the sustainer of the whole universe and our life. But think about the meaning of what Jesus Christ did. Using those stone jars for ceremonial washing, to add the choicest wine into it to meet an immediate need. What does that mean to us? What Jesus Christ was doing was to use what was used for religious rituals that created burden for people and yet could not take away the root of the problem that is sin. They have to repeatedly wash themselves over and over again, and yet they will still not have a clean conscience when they touch something that is unclean. These rituals never can truly take away the sins once and for all. It often creates burdens and guilty feelings. But Jesus Christ used what created burdens, the old religious rituals, and then using that as a tool to create something that meets an immediate need, and creating the wine that has deep meaning for us all. Open your Bible to Matthew chapter 26, verse 27. The water became the wine. Now the wine has a new meaning in the Lord's Supper. Before Jesus Christ was crucified, he asked his disciples to do this. That's why we do this every month, to take the Lord's Supper. The wine has the meaning. It symbolizes this is the blood that Jesus Christ will pour out for all sinners' sins. Matthew chapter 26, verse 27. Then he took the cup, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." Jesus took the Lord's Supper, but he said that he will not take it again until in the future that we will be with him in God's kingdom. We take the Lord's Supper to remind us of this day that we will drink it with Jesus Christ face to face, to again celebrate, to remember what Jesus Christ did for us and appreciate what Jesus Christ did for us. So Jesus Christ, through the wine, showed what he would do on the cross, to die for our sins, and then after that he rose from the dead. He prepared for us what is the true religion that can take away our sins once and for all, not just following the rituals that we need to repeatedly do it over and over again, and yet cannot take away the burden of the sins, the guilt on us. Why did Jesus do it in a wedding? If you read the Bible, open your Bible to Revelation chapter 19, verse 6. Revelation chapter 19, verse 6 is next. The last few pages of your Bible in the New Testament. Revelation chapter 19, verse 6 tells us about this wedding we all, believers of Jesus Christ, will all be part of with Jesus. Revelation chapter 19, verse 6 says that, "Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like now pearls of thunder, shouting, 'Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come. The wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready.' This is the church. That's all believers, including us. Each one of us together, fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear." See, Jesus Christ not only cares for our physical needs, but ultimately he cares for our spiritual needs, our eternal destiny, our eternal hope, our eternal life with him. Christianity is not about following rituals out of guilt. If I don't do that, I'll be punished, I'll go to hell, that's why I come to church. That's not the reason why we come to church. But what we do as a believer of Jesus Christ is all out of thankfulness, appreciation, celebration of what Jesus Christ has already done for us. And it reminds us that we also need to prepare ourselves for that wedding
that we will have as the church together with Jesus Christ in the future. And according to the Bible, it can happen anytime. This wedding can take place anytime. It is something that we should look forward to when we are in suffering. Show the next picture. This is a picture that describes what would happen when Jesus Christ comes back according to the Bible prophecies, teachings on prophecies, what will happen in the future. This can be any time. And when that happens, Jesus Christ will be in the air, like the groom, and then all believers, first, the dead believers of Jesus Christ will be resurrected, have a new resurrection body, and then will go up, be caught up in the air, and then meet with Jesus Christ. And then the believers who are alive, they don't even need to go through death, and then they will just fly and then meet Jesus Christ in the clouds. They together. They together are the bride of Jesus Christ, who is the groom, who cares for our physical needs, who cares for our spiritual needs to the point of dying for our sins and rose from the dead. The wine symbolizes that. Where can you find a better groom? Nobody can find a better groom than Jesus Christ himself. If you're getting married, if you're a woman, probably you think about your future husband. Will he be a good husband? Or your husband now, is he a good husband? Does he really care for my physical needs and even spiritual needs to the point that Jesus Christ did for the church? That's why we have something that we should appreciate, that we should also look forward to. That's why when we live our lives, we should let our lives be filled with the exquisite wine symbolizing Jesus Christ's death for our sins, instead of filling our lives with burdensome rituals, religious rituals. Rituals like this. You have to pray at a certain time, how many times per day, a certain place, facing certain direction. That's what some people believing in some other religion, they do. Okay? Or you have to fast how many times per month and pray once a week maybe. Or you give money to the religious organization in order to take away your sins, for your sins to be forgiven. The more money you give, then more sins will be forgiven. Then poor people, how can their sins be forgiven? Or you do everything in the church, even now. You think this is a way to do charity. This is a way to do good works. Maybe I would earn credit before God. See, I do thee. I am good enough. Maybe I can go to heaven. No. What we do here is never for earning our entrance into heaven. It's just an appreciation, deep gratitude of what Jesus Christ has already done for us. We are sure that we're going to heaven because Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead. We believe in him. We are sure that we will not perish. We will not go to hell, but we go to heaven because we have that assurance, that confidence that we celebrate. We come together, do everything out of thankfulness. Christianity is not a dead religion. It is about a living relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what Christianity is all about. So we need to think about, evaluate our lives. Are we living under a dead religion? Or are we living in a living relationship with Jesus Christ? Is there a living relationship with Jesus Christ that you claim is your Savior and your Lord? If there's no such relationship, then your religion is dead. Although you might have truly believed in Jesus Christ to be saved, then you sure will go to heaven. But in your life, there's no relationship with Jesus Christ, then your religion is really dead. Even if you continue to repeat the same thing over and over again, but there's no personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what we need to think about. Let the dead religion be dead. Let our living God be shown alive in our lives. And let us also bring our living God to many people who are under the burden and the control of dead religions. That's our responsibility, out of appreciation of what Jesus Christ did for us.
So Jesus Christ not only cares for our physical needs, but also our spiritual needs. Thirdly, Jesus Christ cares for our relational needs with Him. He wants us to have a personal relationship with Him. Verse 11. This, after all that being done, John gave a comment about what happened. This, the first of Jesus' miraculous signs Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee, he thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him, had a relationship with him, trusted him, relied on him, depended upon him. That's the purpose of Jesus performing miraculous signs. It was not to show off his power, but through these miraculous signs that some people would see that who he truly is, and then place trust in the true God. But I want to remind you that we should not be too focused on the miracles. Even today, some people see the miracles. We want to see a miracle, like they go to a church that can do some miracles, and that's something spectacular that always amazes people. And yet, if that does not bring people closer to Christ, it's useless in God's eyes. Miracles is just a means to bring people to faith in Jesus Christ. I'd like to read a Bible verse from John chapter 20, verse 29. Again, the same book. Jesus said to Thomas, one of his disciples. Some people call Thomas a doubting Thomas. He had many doubts about who Jesus Christ really was. He did not believe that Jesus Christ was resurrected until he was able to touch Jesus Christ's body. Jesus Christ let him touch his body, and he immediately kneeled down and then worshipped Jesus. He knew this indeed is God. John 20, verse 9 says that Jesus said, "Because you have seen me, you have believed, Thomas. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Miracles cannot save people. True faith in Jesus Christ can save people. Miracles from God is just one of the many ways through which Christ's glory is shown and people might trust in Him. But people who trust Jesus Christ without seeing miracles, they have greater faith. And this pleases God, pleases Jesus Christ. He was always amazed, overjoyed when He saw people with great faith. So we should not rely too much on what is spectacular in a church. Something that's big, something that's famous, attractive on the outside, that should certainly attract more people to the church, right? Other people saw Jesus performing miracles, but many people did not believe in Jesus Christ. Miracles is just a means for people to believe in Jesus Christ, not the end. Let me sum up. Through what happened in the wedding in Cana, we learned that first, Jesus cares for our physical needs. As a result, if you are struggling with something, you have a physical need that is not met, ask Jesus to help you. Second, Jesus Christ not only cares for our physical needs, but also our spiritual needs. If Jesus Christ cares for our spiritual needs, He wants us to stay away from dead religions that only gives you burden but not true life relationship with Christ. Thirdly, Jesus Christ also cares for our relational needs with Him. Have a close relationship with Jesus Christ. Believe in Him. Many things are just means, but ultimately it is the relationship with Jesus Christ that counts. So, when we are attracted to big, spectacular concerts and many things that are attractive, let us remind ourselves, if these things do not help us to build stronger faith in Jesus Christ, these are really useless in God's eyes. But what will ultimately give glory to Christ and help people to build faith in Christ? That's what we should do. See, now we have a deeper understanding of what Jesus Christ did in the wedding. I myself have a deeper appreciation of wedding, even more than before. And most importantly, I appreciate Jesus Christ even more because Jesus Christ cares. I really love the name of the church, Jesus Cares Community Church. The church I went to in the Philippines, it's simply Jesus Cares Community Church, because Jesus indeed cares, especially in a poor country. Many people have many needs, but even in a rich country we have different needs. Jesus cares for you. As the church, we are the bride of Jesus Christ. You know what? True believers, we are already in an engagement of Jesus Christ, the groom, and the wedding will be any time that will take place, when rapture takes place. That's why every day of our life, we should live our life with joy, of celebration. And we prepare ourselves for that day because we don't know how much time we have, so we always rely on God to live our life to the fullness according to God's will. Every day, prepare and expect the day that we will see Jesus Christ and be overjoyed, rewarded when we are faithful as His disciples, followers, who have received the precious gift of eternal life freely because He paid a high price for us. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Through your word we see Jesus. Through your word we can have a deeper appreciation of who Jesus Christ is and what He did for us. Would you fill our heart with thankfulness? Would you fill our heart with joy? And give us always appreciation of what we have already received from Jesus Christ. Let us celebrate what you have done for us, but let us also prepare for what will happen. And let us expect the day that we will meet with other believers of Jesus Christ in the air with the groom of the church, Jesus Christ. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.